Our featured guest today, thanks to Giant Bicycles Factory Back Sale, which is on now. Save on selected Giant Bicycles in the Giant Bicycles Factory Back Sale, is Sam Rowe. Have you got a bike? Are you a big bike rider?
I don't have a bike going at the moment, so I'd love to get a hold of one of those Giant bikes.
I'll tell you what, we might be able to sort you out for coming in. You know, what are you, cross-training type? Are you a big, do you just do the bare minimum, turn up, get that done, and then sort of noddle off and wait for the next training session? What are you like in terms of keeping yourself in nick?
I don't mind a bike ride, to be honest. But look, at the moment, Andy, I've just finished a very intense three-week pre-season to get myself up and going, so I have spent a little bit of time on a stationary bike over the last few weeks.
It's an incredible story. Tell us about the kind of mini journey that you've been on since being told that, you know, your time at Carlton after 99 games had come to an end. Tell us about what you've been through since.
Oh, look, I was, you know, quite content with finishing my footy career. I was proud as well of what I was able to achieve. So anyway, I moved on. I started working full-time for an insurance builder, John's Lynn Group. Signed up to play some local footy at the mighty Donny East Lions.
Lions, there it is, yeah.
So look, I was enjoying retirement well and truly. You know, I was doing a little bit of training with Donny East, but just enjoying my life and enjoying the next part of my life, really.
And then the phone call comes. How did that, once you've reached this point, then it all changed again in this kind of uncertain, unpredictable world that we live in. What happened next?
Yeah, well, I remember I was budgeting for this business that I was managing, which is pretty dry sort of stuff. But the phone rang and James Gallagher was on the line and was querying how fit I was at the time. And I really wasn't even thinking about footy, Andy. I was done. But as it turned out, the Saints had a couple of injuries that week, like all the Dil Robertson one as well. Yeah, so yeah. There was all of a sudden a couple of spots on their list. So the deadline was, that was a Tuesday. The deadline was the Friday for the supplementary list.
Yep.
So look, it went pretty quickly from there. I did think about it for 24 hours to consider, you know, I was just starting to get my post-footy career going and I want to actually step back into footy for another 6 months or for a six-month contract and put that on hold again. But after thinking about it and look, once I had that opportunity put in front of me and the competitiveness in me sort of sparked back up again, I realised I certainly did want to have a crack at footy again.
So outside of that, what was it about it? Was there a bit of the drive to get back into that league, to be back in an elite environment, to just see if you can squeeze a bit more out? And then, Sam, this is the great answer. You never know. Like, you know, you say it's a six-month contract, but such is the nature of footy. You might get to play 15, 16, 17 games this year, and at the end of the year, they go, we need to keep this bloke around for at least another 12 months. You never know.
Well, that's exactly it. I think I've always been a person that I like to take every opportunity that I think I can get. So, you know, I'll work for the next 40 years of my life, and there was an opportunity put in front of me, and I think I'm a really competitive person. I think I'm a determined person, and as soon as that was there, I really want to try and make something of it. Like, I don't know what will come from it. Maybe there will be something else after this year. Maybe there won't, but that's okay as long as I just work as hard as I possibly can. Yeah. And I'm sure there will be some sort of good that comes out of it.
What are your early impressions of St Kilda like?
Look, really good. I hadn't been really following them, to be honest. From afar, I'd liked a bit about the Saints, but it's been a good start to the year. There's a really good energy there. I mean, there's a fair bit of similarities between the Saints and the Blues, really. It's a pretty young list. There's been a lot of change in coaches and players as well. So, but there's good energy. There's a good feeling at the moment. We've got a couple of wins and, you know, from a Saints perspective, we feel like we maybe should have won that game on the weekend.
No doubt you could have.
So, look, there's a lot of optimism in the air and there's been a lot of change and we're trying some new game plan things, but it's going well so far.
What are they asking of you? When they said, when James sits you down or gives you the call and says, you know, the offer, and then you accept it and you get in there and they lay out in front of you what they hope to get from you. What were the plans that they had for you?
Look, I think I wanted to, and you know, from what they were thinking as well, just have as much impact as I could. They're a bit shy on big guys on their list at the moment. There's been injuries to their big guys, so there's potentially some playing opportunities back, or maybe forward or ruck as well.
Well, that's where you started, right? Like back in the years ago, you were playing up the other end of the ground.
Yeah, exactly. So there might be opportunities there. It depends on injuries and whatnot, and I'll try to get some form over the next few weeks and see how we go. But also, I want to just try to impact, positively around the club as much as I can. If there's young guys like a Dara Joyce, who's a young defender, Irishman, if I can help him in some way, I definitely will. There's, you know, Maxie King, the first round draftee, who's a great kid, and he's looking to learn. So if I can help him in some way, then great. Like that's really what I'm looking to get out of the year.
There's a couple down there, aren't there? The other kid, Wilkie, who they mature age, they picked up from your old neck of the woods over in South Australia. He looks like he can play as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. Matty Parker, who's another mature ager. I really like the look of him. He's become a bit of a favourite.
Yeah.
But look, there is a lot of talent is one thing, but there's a lot of drive and energy amongst the players at the moment. So it really has been a pretty good place to slot in.
From me watching you as a Carlton supporter, you've always been a highly respected, you know, member of the group. You've always given this impression of being eternally optimistic and a glass half full type of operator. You've always brought that sort of energy to any footy club that you've been part of. How much do you reckon St Kilda want a bit of that as well? Somebody who's got that positivity about them with some experience that they can bring into the mix, not just the size and the position, but a bit of what you've been through to put into this group that they might be able to use as well.
Yeah, that definitely helped in my favour, I think. I mean, I'm sure they were quickly weighing up. I'm sure there are a few other options for this spot as well. Yeah. So, but what I know I could offer is that the optimism and that competitiveness if I can sort of impart a little bit of that, then I think it's going to help in some way. So that's certainly part of my role, I guess, this year is to certainly be optimistic, but, try to impart a little bit of resilience or whatever you want to call it, Andy. It's just a desire to really get better.
Well, the resilience word is one that has kind of followed you through your footy career, given the health issues that you had to deal with earlier on in your career. Having gone through that, does it put a bit of a perspective on everything that comes thereafter in terms of, footy, being a game, not take it too seriously, cop the knocks with a bit of a smile on your face as best as you possibly can?
Yeah, it certainly does. Like I obviously had testicular cancer, and it's testicular cancer awareness month, which we'll touch on as well if I can. But it teaches you lessons. I mean, there's footy's an unbelievable job, and it's an unbelievable career, and we're very lucky to be a part of it. But it is footy, and there's a whole another life out there outside of it. And I think it's definitely important to have an understanding that there's a lot more out there in life other than footy.
Well, let's not walk past it now that you brought it up. I didn't even realise that, but it is. Tell us about testicular cancer. You're talking to a majority male audience here, and you're going to be talking to some women who are going to probably take messages that a month like this brings to the fore back home and, maybe pass on a message or two to their loved male friends. Yeah. What do we need to know?
Yeah, well, so I'm an ambassador for Movember, and as Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, we're encouraging to know thy nuts.
Right.
So that's the slogan we're going with.
It's a great slogan.
It is great. So we're encouraging guys, young guys, testicular cancer is a young man's disease. Generally, your 20s and 30s is when you're going to get it. I'm not sure if everyone really knows that, but it's certainly a young man's disease.
I wouldn't have known that, no.
Yeah, so once you're over 40, your chances of getting it are quite low.
Yep.
But we're encouraging everyone to feel their testicles and get to know what normal is. And if something feels, if it's sore or it feels a bit bigger or something doesn't feel quite right, then just see a doctor, and that's as simple as it is.
So what were your symptoms? It's a really good thing to be talking about.
So I had a hardish lump in one of my testicles, and something that I dismissed really to start with, and I left it for a few weeks, which is, you know, it hasn't made it worse as such, but, you know, the more, the quicker we can get onto things, much better off we're going to be. And that's certainly what we're encouraging, is just to regularly, if we can, once a month or maybe once every couple of months, do a self-examination and just get to know what your own nuts feel like.
What sort of hammer blow was it for you when you thought, well, it hasn't gone away, I better get this looked at? Was it a footy club doctor? Was it, where did you go? And when you got the news, how hard was that to take on board?
We're lucky in footy because there's a doctor there all the time. So it makes it easy just to walk in and say, hey doc, I just need to ask you a question about this. But certainly that's what we're encouraging. I mean, look, once you ask the question and they suspect it might be something and you get the first test, it goes very quickly from there. Probably, I remember it was, I think I'm actually almost coming up on the anniversary, if you call it that. It was Friday the 13th of April, I remember that much. So
how long ago?
2012.
Okay, yep.
So 7 years ago.
Yep.
I think I had surgery a couple of days later and, the chemo following that. So it all goes pretty quickly. But the important thing is just to get to know what they feel like and just please get them checked if you feel like there's just, it doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah. Was yours brought about by anything? You didn't cop a knock and something flared up. It was just something that was naturally going to evolve and away it went?
Look, we don't know. There's no real distinct causes of testicular cancer. There's potentially some things as a kid, but look, it's a bit of an unknown one, but it'll be funny to say, it's a good one to get if you get it. It's very treatable. The drugs they use in the chemo have been really effective over a long period of time, so you can be confident in your treatment from testicular cancer, but the longer you leave it, the harder it's going
to
be.
How hard was the chemo to get through?
Oh, look.
To knock you around a bit?
To be honest, I was very lucky. I didn't get very sick. I mean, you lose all your hair and you're tired and lethargic, but I was very lucky. Probably the hardest part, Andy, was when you're in hospital and you see other people. There's some sick people that are really struggling. So that's probably was one of the hardest parts about being in hospital, for sure.
Did you have that sense that here you are, a big, strong young man, and this happens to other people, this isn't supposed to happen to me? Was there a realisation moment that, geez, this can actually happen to anyone?
That's exactly the point we're pushing. I mean, I was very naive. I thought I was absolutely indestructible. I was 24. I was as fit as I've ever been. Just got a new opportunity to play AFL again. I was on top of the world. And here someone was telling me I was sick, and I didn't feel sick. I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. So, look, it certainly, there was a realisation that it can happen to anyone.
So was there a moment of denial about the whole thing? You didn't want to admit to it because you had this opportunity given to you and you're about to, you know, embark upon this fantastic journey that you'd obviously been looking forward to.
Yeah, I think I was definitely in part denying what I thought was something. It didn't feel quite right, and I tried to ignore that for a little bit. And my now wife probably pressured me quite a bit to actually get it checked, so I'm thankful for that. But that's, you know, we shouldn't be like that. I shouldn't be in denial about wanting someone to. I should be comfortable to talk about that with people, and that's what we're encouraging. You know, if it's not a doctor, tell your mates, tell your missus, tell anyone that doesn't feel quite right.
I think it's a really, really great message that you're putting. Hey, I know Richie. I know you're on the line, Richie, and you want to have a chat about footy. Let's clear a break. You can stick around. Sam Rowe's going to stick around on the other side of the break. So we'll talk about the continued football journey, Richie. If you want to ask that question when we get back, we're talking to Sam Rowe. Know Thy Nuts is the campaign that the Movember Foundation is looking for us to know more about right throughout this April, and it's a really, really important message that we're trying to put out there. Hopefully you're having a bit of a listen to it. Sam Rowe's in the studio, an ambassador for Movember's Movember Foundation's Know Thy Nats campaign this April. We're shining a light on Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. You're one of three players, Robbie Gray and Jesse Hogan, of course, are also ambassadors for the same cause. So it's something that footy, alongside so many other aspects of life, can do their bit for, which is a terrific thing.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said before, it's no one's immune. It picks who it wants to. So But what we can do is try to get the word out there and let everyone know that we're the same. We're no different to anyone else.
Richie's in Glenorys wants to ask you a footy question about probably a bit about the journey that you're finding yourself on and in the middle of again at the moment. Sam, hi, Richie.
Yeah, g'day. Thanks, Andy. Look, congratulations to Sam. I reckon that's a big tick to the AFL for allowing this new system to give guys an opportunity again. I'm just sort of probably coming on. What happens now to the rookies? Because you've got these guys who are out there who are on lists. Are they some way, you know, going to be incorporated into maybe a pool where you might have a rookie at one club, but other clubs can actually look around and see what's out there and maybe just able to elevate rookies onto another club list?
How good are you at understanding all of the guys? I think my understanding is if you're a rookie listed at an AFL club, you're relatively safe from you know, the advances from other AFL clubs in season.
Yeah, look, there's certainly no in-season trading yet. Mm. I think it'll come in pretty soon.
Do you?
I think in the next 3 to 5 years there will be mid-season trading.
Yep.
But as it stands now, look, the rookie list has changed a bit. You used to have injuries to play senior footy. Yep. That's been scrapped. So it really doesn't matter if you're a rookie or a senior listed player. Anyone is eligible to play each week, which is a great thing. As far as you probably just, there's less security in contracts with rookies. Generally, they're signed to 1, maybe 2 year deals. But that's probably where it stands.
Coming up to the news headlines in about a minute, and this hasn't been part of your reality yet, but the mid-season draft is the other element of the new player movement availabilities to clubs. Have you got a sense of how that's going to be used, if it is going to be used at all, and of any interest to AFL clubs?
I just have a feeling that I think clubs would probably use that as a future drafting method. If there's a Tim Kelly type that's been dominating for the first part of season and they're smashing it in a state league, you can potentially just sign them and have them for free and retain them on your list going forward without having to actually draft them. I think there will be probably a bit of that.
Window to the future sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
It makes a bit of sense, doesn't it? If you can get some sort of hold on those players beyond the season that you draft them into, then it makes a bit of sense. Thanks, Steph. I'm going to talk about a couple of fantastic stories that emerged earlier this morning with a couple of young Australian women picked up in the first draft of the WNBL, with Sandy Brondello is going to join us after we've said goodbye to Sam Rowe, who is in the studio. Not stuck on, because that sounds like 99 games is significantly less significant than 100. But how much of that was that a play at all for you, that, oh, if I can just get one more, I get to the three figures?
Yes and no. Yeah. I mean, we did have, when I finished, I had a 100-1 party. So, look, it's a small part. I really don't. Honestly, I don't play.
I can't imagine it would have been.
It would have been really nice to play 100 at the Blues, just to have that. But look, it's certainly a side piece to what I'm trying to achieve.
How much more were you ready for it when you got your second crack at it at Carlton, as opposed to the first time you stuck your toe into the water as part of the system at Sydney? How much had your preparedness and readiness changed?
Oh, a hell of a lot. I can't compare, really.
Yeah, right.
I was a pretty young, raw kid when I started at Sydney. I think I was pretty fortunate, because at that time there was almost a supplementary list as well, where they had to rookie 3 New South Wales kids.
Right.
And I was one of those. Kieran Jack was another, who's ended up being a gun.
This week, yeah.
And another guy as well. So I was pretty fortunate to get that spot, I think. But it taught me a lot about what it actually meant to be on an AFL list and what it actually took.
Yeah.
As it turns out, I wasn't really there at that stage. And they gave him the flick, which is fine. But it did really teach me a lot about what it took. So the second time around, I was pretty aware of what I needed to do and how hard I needed to work. So yeah. It was certainly a massive leg up for the second time around.
And I'm not asking this question because I think you're going to tip the bucket or anything, because I don't think you will. Every question you get asked of you, you answer it with a smile on your face. But what do you learn about the system that when you go through what you've been through? It looked to a lot of Carlton people like, well, they'll keep Rowie on the list because, you know, Alex Silvani's gone and they need another, you know, that group's not in a position at this stage to jettison a player like you. They'll hang on to him for at least another year, but it didn't happen. Do you learn something about the system and what players mean to clubs at kind of various times because of what you went through?
Look, I'm pretty realistic about it, Andy. It is a business. Footy's a business these days more than ever. And I'm fully aware that any club will get rid of you, or they will trade a player in or out if they think they're getting an upgrade. Every club is trying to constantly improve their list and what they perceive to be the best player in comparison to another. And also, you know, the dynamic of their list, whether it be an age profile of the list, a talent profile, about where your perceived talent is as well. So, look, I'm fully aware of what the game is and what the business of footy is. And I enjoy the business of footy as well. So, look, I've got no issues with being let go from the Blues. The Carlton gave me a hell of an opportunity. Football's given me a lot in my life, Andy. So I'm certainly a strong Blues supporter for the rest of my life. And I've got no issues with their decision to let me go.
You mentioned before that you're about to embark upon, a career in insurance, whatever that looks like. But just talking to you off air and listening to you answer questions on air, it does sound like you've got quite an active interest in, you know, list management and the process of list builds. And is there somewhere in the back of your mind a thought that you wouldn't mind maintaining a position in the game if one kind of presented itself?
Look, to be honest, not really. I'm in building construction. I love the building industry. I like the business of footy. I don't think, like, I wouldn't go down the path of coaching, but I do enjoy the business of footy. So there's certainly aspects of the footy that certainly still interest me. I love footy, of course.
Yeah.
The management of people I enjoy, and that sort of aspect of things. So there's certainly parts of the AFL industry that I would really enjoy. What that'll mean in the future, I mean, who knows? I've got plans of what I want to do, you know, in the building industry when I finish. But in saying that, you never know what comes up, Andy. It's life is opportunities, these sort of opportunities keep coming up at different times.
You didn't think you were going to be here a couple of months ago, did you? You thought this door had well and truly shut, and it hasn't. Just before I let you mentioned you had the 3-week intensive kind of pre-season. Physically, you look great. I mean, how are you? Do you feel AFL ready now?
Look, surprisingly, I'm actually pretty happy with how I've come up to standard. I mean, I'll play some VFL this week.
Yep.
I feel reasonably fit, so I think after this, you know, a week or two in the VFL, I'll be looking to put my hand up for AFL if I'm in form and there's a position there.
Mate, good luck.
Cheers.
It's a hell of a story. I'd love to see you get at least one more so that you can tick the 100 and hold the bat up high and appreciate whatever comes with it. But you've been credit to yourself whenever you... No matter where you've been in your footy journey, and I'm sure St Kilda, for however long you're there, are going to love having you around the place. Keep up the work, good work you're doing from a Movember testicular cancer awareness perspective. It's a really important message that you're part of spreading. We appreciate you joining us and wish you all the best.
Thanks very much for having me.
Good on you. Sam Rowe joining us in the studio.